All right, everyone. We're full of like really exciting topics this morning, and it's really fun to get to introduce the next panel. It's a case law update on U.S. versus Osage Wind, and here to talk about the case is Maeve Agasaway. She's a partner in Colorado at the office at the law firm Davis, Graham, and Stubbs. Her practice focuses on regulatory litigation and transactional counseling in the fields of environmental and natural resources law for clients in a variety of industries such as oil and gas, manufacturing, renewable energy, mining, railroads, and nonprofits. And she's joined by Logan Hibbs, who's an attorney in the Tulsa office of Crow and Dunleavy. Logan assists clients with general litigation matters as a member of the Indian Law and Gaming, Labor and Employment, and Litigation and Trial Practice Groups. His litigation practice focuses on representing clients in state and federal court regarding issues of tribal sovereignty, administrative matters relating to the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, and interpreting federal laws and regulations and their applicability to tribes, businesses, and employers. He also advises tribal governments, corporations, and affiliated entities on economic development employment policies. He's a citizen of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. So thank you.
Thank you. You hear me? It's great to be here today. We are going to provide a legal update on U.S. v. Osage Wind. And as you heard, I've got a tribal litigator here, which is not what I do. I'm a renewable energy lawyer that assists clients with developing, constructing, and operating renewable energy projects in various states. So Logan's going to provide kind of the meat of the less than 30 minutes we have here. I'm going to provide kind of an intro and a lessons learned, key takeaways at the end, because you know this case is not just tribal law specific, it's not just Oklahoma specific, it's Osage specific, which is very, very unique. So very few of us are going to find ourselves in this fact pattern. But what can we do? We can learn from this 11-year litigation in various ways. So again, I'm going to set the stage, kind of talk about why this matters. Logan's going to provide the legal update, and then we'll do some key takeaways and practical considerations at the end and questions if we have time. So why does this matter? As renewable energy grows across the United States and the globe, so are its challenges. Most projects, here I have more than 70% fail to reach commercial operation grid interconnection. Some estimates say it's 20 to 23%. And for the past, 12 years, I've, almost at all times been working on a couple to many renewable energy projects. And I would say, based on my experience, closer to 20% success rate is probably accurate. So two leading causes of project complications, delays and cancellations, or in this case, teardowns, are permitting requirements and hurdles and stakeholder opposition. Both are major themes in the U.S. v. Osage case that Logan's going to talk about. And I can say from experience, those are two of the primary reasons that projects aren't successful. There are others, grid constraints and things like that, but these are two of the major ones specifically over the last several years. So again, like I said, legal challenges across the country are on the rise, and they provide a host of cautionary tales, including the U.S. v. Osage. So I will turn it over to Logan to give you an update.
All right, thank you. So here's a brief background of what I'm going to talk about. We're going to start with an overview of the Osage Reservation. Because of the uniqueness of the reservation and that uniqueness is kind of critical to the outcome of this case, I think it's very important to kind of establish a background of how it's different from other tribal lands. Then we're going to talk about the background leading up to the dispute, how Osage Wind, which was the defendant in this case, obtained summary judgment, the appeal to the 10th Circuit in 2017, the remand, and then finally the most recent update, which was the Northern District's trial on damages. So here's an overview of the Osage Reservation. So in 1872, Congress established the reservation for the Osage Nation, and it might be a little hard for you to see on screen, but it's those darker parts of the map right there. And then for a lot of tribes, Congress passed what's called...